This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want you to take your iPad, your Bible, whatever you have, and go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, this is what the Bible says. In verse 4, Matthew chapter 19, it says, "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." I want to talk to you as you're seated about staying together matters. Staying together matters. A wife comes home one day and she says to her husband, she says, "Pack your bags. I won the lottery." And the husband says, "Should I pack my bags for cold weather or hot weather?" She said, "Pack everything. You're leaving." A couple goes out to dinner to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. On the way home, she notices, she looks over to him, and he's got a tear in his eye. And she asks if he's getting sentimental about the fact that they had been married for 50 years, and they had had 50 wonderful years together. Or she was thinking, is he sentimental about that? She asks him. He says, "No, I was thinking about the time before we got married. Your father threatened me with a shotgun and said he'd have me thrown in jail for 50 years if I didn't marry you. And I was just thinking, tomorrow I could be a free man." Well, a lot of people are deciding they want to be a free man or they want to be a free woman. What starts out in every case is as ideal. Usually there's an ordeal, and usually they're looking for a new deal. See, somebody said marriage is a three-ring circus. There's the engagement ring, there's the wedding ring, and there's suffering. Now, I don't know, but I do know right now in America, divorce rates, it's hard to pinpoint exactly, but divorce rates are somewhere between 40 and 50%. But as I was researching, what was so interesting is they actually have dropped 18% from the year 2008 to the year 2016. So I started researching, what's the cause of that? And it's because of millennials. You know, many times when we speak of millennials, sometimes it's in a negative connotation. But millennials apparently have a great commitment to marriage. They spend more time dating, they marry later, and their careers and their finances are many times intact when they get married, and that's given them longevity in marriage. From 1990 to 2015, the divorce rates doubled for those ages 50 to 64. Doubled. Those above 65 in this very same period, the divorce rates tripled. Ben Franklin said this. He said, "Facts are stubborn things. And sometimes we've already made up our minds and we don't want to hear the facts." Now, I want to make some observations, and then I want to give you some things that I believe that will be helpful to you. The first thing I'd like to say to you today is God hates divorce. God hates divorce. You say, "Pastor, where did you get that?" Out of the Bible, Malachi 2:16. He hates putting away, or he hates divorce. Now, let me hasten to say, there's only one reason why God hates divorce. It's because God loves people so deeply And God knows the hurt that divorce brings to people's lives. God hates divorce, and he hates it when people go through divorce, because he knows the great hurt that that brings to people's lives. You know what's interesting? This issue that we're talking about right now, Jesus just addressed twice in the Bible. He addressed it in Matthew chapter 19, and he addressed it in Mark chapter 10. Two times Jesus addressed divorce. And what's so interesting in those chapters where he addressed divorce, he also said these words, "Suffer the little children. Suffer the little children." Because here's what I want you to understand. No matter how old your children are, no matter what their ages are, divorce affects children. That's why when Jesus mentioned divorce, he quickly said, "Suffer the little children." You say, "My children are grown." It still affects children. God hates divorce because it has a detrimental impact on people, and it greatly hurts children. But I wanted to say that, folks, because I want to preach the truth. But I wanted to quickly get to point number two, that God loves divorcees. God loves divorcees. And Romans 8 and 39 says there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Divorce doesn't separate you from God's love. And let me tell you something. You say, "Pastor, I've been divorced." God loves you and God forgives. God loves you and God forgives. And maybe I'm different, but I've often said, if we can't save the marriage, we ought to save people. We ought to save people. And see, if somebody says, "Pastor, God doesn't use people after divorce," that's ludicrous. God uses people. God uses people. Let me tell you something. My mother, her third marriage, married a man who my mother was his fourth marriage. And the man who was my mother's fourth marriage was the man who said to me, "God has something special for you. You need to get in Bible college." "I can't get in Bible college. I can't. I'm not smart enough." "Yes, you are. You get in Bible college. I'll pay your way. Every degree you complete, I'll pay for. I'll pay for." That's what I said, brother. "I'll pay for." And I completed four degrees. He paid for every one of them. Listen to me, folks. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be in this pulpit. I wouldn't be the pastor of Rock Springs Church if it wasn't for a man who was in his fourth marriage. So I just can't buy into the fact that God doesn't use people because they've been divorced. I've got a word for that: baloney. He does. God uses all people. Now, God hates divorce. God loves divorcees. Now, I want you to know something. There are biblical grounds for divorce. There are biblical grounds. Adultery is a biblical ground for divorce. Abandonment is a biblical ground for divorce. Abuse is a biblical ground for separation, which could lead to divorce. There are biblical grounds for people divorcing. Somebody said, "Well, we've fallen out of love." By the way, that's not a biblical ground, because love's not a feeling anyway. Amen. To quote the infamous Tina Turner, "What's love got to do with it?" It's a commitment. It's a commitment. That's what love is. Number four, the perfect will of God is for your marriage to last. The perfect will of God is for your marriage to last. You said, "But Brother Benny, you said that God permits divorce." He permits, but he never commands divorce. Here's what I want you to understand. If you're in your first marriage, you're in your second marriage, you're in your third marriage, you're in your fourth, God's will is for your marriage to last. God's will is for your marriage to last. And let me tell you something. I've got wonderful news today. There's a 100% success rate if we do marriage God's way. There's a 100% success rate if we do marriage God's way. Now, let me give you some indicators. Let me give you some warning signs that your marriage is in trouble and that you could be heading toward divorce. And by the way, you said, well, we had a couple of these. We have a couple of these in our marriage. I'm not saying because you have a couple of them, you're heading the wrong way or you're heading toward divorce. Most of us will have a couple. But I will say this. If you've got a bunch, it's reason for alarm. Now, let me give you some warning signs that perhaps your marriage is in trouble. Number one, lack of pre-marriage preparation. Lack of pre-marriage preparation. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, it's kind of like the son who said to his dad, Dad, I've heard in some parts of the world that men marry women and he doesn't even know her. The father said, son, that's true here in America also. Now let me say something, folks. When we get married, we marry strangers. And I am convinced that premarital counseling is so helpful because it helps us to identify how we're different. See, the person that you married, you say, but we've been dating. No. The whole dating process is a forest. That's not the real person. The real person is home in a cage. Do you realize, folks, that premarital counseling increases the success rate of marriage by 30%. So a warning sign is a lack of pre-marriage preparation. Let me give you a second warning sign. That is coming from a broken home. Do you realize, folks, that every time you divorce, there's a 10% greater chance that you will divorce in your next relationship? Let me share something with you. There's a greater probability that your children will experience divorce in their life if they're from a home that was a divorced home. The stats don't lie. Now, here's catcher. That's the home I was from. That's the home I was from multiple times. But here's what I've made a commitment. I'm going to break the curse. And here's the commitment you ought to make, that you're going to break the curse. You're going to break. Barbara and I got married almost 35 years ago. And we decided divorce is not a part of our vocabulary. Murder is, but divorce is not. Amen? I'm saying you can break the curse. You can break the curse. No matter how many times your father or mother was married, here's a thought, you break the curse. Third thing that's a warning sign is cohabitation. Cohabitation. You say, well, we're kind of getting to know each other. Look, the man who cohabitates with a woman is 4 times more likely to be unfaithful than the man who's married to a woman. The woman who cohabitates with a man is 8 times more likely to be unfaithful than the woman that is married to a man. If you cohabitate before marriage, there's a 70% chance the marriage will not make it. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand. Women and men cohabitate for different reasons. Women cohabitate because they want to secure him. They want to secure him. Men cohabitate because they want the benefits with no commitment. Now look, women, I want you to come up real close to me. I want you to come up real close. This problem, you women, can stop dead in its tracks. You women can stop this problem dead in its tracks. And here's how you stop it. When he says, I love you, you say, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because if you loved me, you'd put a big, fat, gaudy ring on this finger, and you'd take me to the marriage altar, and you'd marry me in the sight of God and in the sight of man. It's a warning sign. Let me give you the fourth warning sign. It's a weak spiritual foundation. It's a weak spiritual foundation. See, folks, you're not going to be fulfilled with him or her until your relationship is right with God. Amen. You can't get in him or you can't get in her what you can only get in God. Let me tell you something. I love God more than I love Barbara. And Barbara loves God more than she loves me. Because we know that will make me a better husband, and that will make her a better wife. And it will make you a better husband, and it will make you a better wife. Because what you've got to understand, folks, what you've got to understand, the acceptance of you, your identity, your security, your purpose, you can't find that in your mate. You've got to find that in a relationship with God. See, some of you are looking for him or her to make you happy, and they cannot make you happy. The only person that can make you happy is you through a relationship with him. Let me tell you the fifth reason, a warning sign, is poor relational support. Poor relational support. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Proverbs 13 and 20. He that walketh with wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company. Understand this. If a marriages that last associate with people who have a low opinion of divorce. Marriages that last associate with people that have a low opinion of divorce. If you're struggling in your relationship, if you're struggling, what are you doing hanging out with a man hater? If you're struggling, what are you doing hanging out with a woman hater? If you're struggling, the answer is not happy hour. I went by a sign the other day, happy hour, 4 to 7. I said, they don't even know how long an hour is. If you're struggling in your marriage, the answer's not down at the strip club. If you're struggling in your marriage, the answer's not with a bunch of lounge lizards at the Crystal Pistol. If you're struggling in your marriage, you don't need to associate with somebody that's been married so many times they've got rust markings on their face. This is not brain surgery. I started a life group in our home. And Barbara and I prayed, and I said, Barbara, but this is what I want to do. I want to start a life group with people that are older. I want to start a life group. I've got people in my life group that are in their 70s. I said, I want to start a life group with people that are older that I can learn from, that I can be a better man, that you can be a better woman. Because that's biblical, folks. That's what the Bible teaches. Let me give you the sixth warning sign. And I want to encourage you, you're not in a life group, get in one today. Let me give you the sixth warning sign. Chronic criticism. Chronic criticism. You know, I was studying, I've quoted this verse for years. I guess I just never noticed the parallel. I've quoted Proverbs 18 and 21 for years. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Think about this, folks. God used words to create the world. Words will create your world. God used words to create the world, and words will create your world. But I noticed that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And then I jumped down to the very next verse. And by the way, the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. Whoso findeth a wife? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whosoever findeth a wife? You know, folks, when we come to church and we start singing praises, songs to God. And I'm so glad we do that. Somebody said, I didn't get a lot out of worship. You know what we ought to leave today? We ought to leave this service and say, God, I hope you got a lot out of my worship. Because it wasn't about me anyway, it was about you. It wasn't about me, it was about you. I'm sorry for making it about me, because it should have never been about me. It should have been about you. But Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. When we come before God with thanksgiving and praise, it opens the heart of God. Now look, you're made in the image of God. And when somebody gives you affirmation, and when somebody gives you praise, it opens your spirit. But when somebody criticizes and condemns you, it closes your spirit. The Bible says, a nagging woman is like a continual raindrop. You're never going to change your husband through nagging him. You're never going to change your husband. You're never going to change your mate through nagging them. Somebody said the ratio is 7-1. There should be praise 7 times for every time we give correction. We have to praise to earn the right to correct. It's proven that women that are overweight live longer than husbands who mention it. Number 7, unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians. The Bible, what the answer is. Be ye angry and sin not. What's that mean? Don't go to bed angry at each other. Don't go to bed angry at each other. Get it resolved. Don't go to bed angry at each other. Barbara and I got married. We said, we're not going to do it. 35 years, we've never done it. Stayed up for 2 or 3 days at a time, but we've never done it. Because what happens, folks, when you go to bed angry at each other? What happens? Look what happens. Verse 27 says, the devil gets a stronghold. He gets a stronghold. That's why the Lord said, deal with it. Let me tell you the 8th warning sign. Blame transfer. Blame transfer. This goes back to the eons of time. The devil comes, Adam and Eve sin, and then God comes. And you remember what Adam said? God, it was that woman you gave me. Read it. It was that woman you gave me. She's the problem. Oh, listen, folks. Winston Churchill said, the price of greatness is responsibility. The price of greatness is owning some responsibility. Now, look. He goes to Eve. Eve says, not me. He's that snake. Women, come up real close on this one. You're going to get in trouble when you have conversations with snakes. You better cut that snake's head off. Adam said it was a woman. The woman said it was a snake. The snake didn't have a leg to stand on. Now, here's all I want to say, folks, and I don't want to camp here real long. the problems in your marriage, your mate isn't the only problem. You say, you're talking to me? If your phone's ringing, pick it up. Your mate isn't the only problem. You need to take a hard look with me in the mirror, because we're part of the problem. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let me give you the ninth warning sign. Shopper's mentality. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Shopper's mentality. I tell you what. This is shopper's mentality. You better stay in shape. You better keep looking good. This is shopper's mentality. You better keep us at the lifestyle we're at right now. This is shopper's mentality. You better stay. You know the size I like you. This is shopper's mentality. You know I've got needs. You know I've got needs. And if you don't meet those needs, you know I've got needs. Let me tell you something. That shopper's mentality. But you know what your attitude ought to be? Whether you're in your first marriage, second marriage, third marriage, I don't care less. You're in one right now. Your marriage ought to be, there's no more blue light specials for me. There's no more blue light. My shopping days are over. No. I'm with him. I'm with her. My shopping days are over. If you're a married woman, hey, listen. If you're married to him, I don't care if he's a hunk or he's a chunk. Your shopping days are over. Hey, listen, if you're married to her, I don't care if she's Wonder Woman or if you wonder if she is a woman. Your shopping days are over. Amen? Number 10. Well, let me give you this quote by Adrian. The greatest preacher ever to live. Listen to what Adrian said. He said, when you get on the matrimonial airplane, you throw away the parachute. When you get on the matrimonial airplane, you throw away the parachute. I said to Barbara, just a while ago, I said, Barbara, will you love me when I'm old and gray? She said, I do. And I said to her, I said, Barbara, listen to that. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you. I would never do that to you. I would never do that to Savannah Abigail. Let me give you the last one. It's a secular view of marriage. Secularism says marriage is no big deal. If it don't work out, just get you another. Can that turkey. But let me tell you something. Marriage is a big deal. Because you made a commitment to him or her, and you made a vow to God. I want you to know, young people, you listen to me, it is a big deal. You say, well, I'm in my fourth one. Well, you realize the seriousness of the one you're in right now, and you do everything in your power to make it work. You can't saw sawdust. You can't unring a bell. I'm not here to beat anybody up, but I'm telling you, the marriage that you're in, you work everything within your power to make it work. That's biblical. See, here's where we're at. I'm almost done. Thank you, friend. There's two houses. Some people build their house on a rock, and some build their house on a sand. And you know what I know, folks, about sand? If you build your house on sand, fall down in the sand. Did you ever go to, I love the sun. Did you ever go to Florida, just fall down on the sand? After you've been there a little while, it gets comfortable. It gets comfortable. It feels so good. But this is what I've learned. It can feel so good and be so wrong. And then it's not only comfortable, but it's conformable. Before long, you're conforming, and the sand's conforming to you. Before long, the standards and the values are no longer there because sand's conformable. And some build their house on the sand, but then some build their house on a rock. And let me tell you about a rock. A rock can be uncomfortable. A rock can be very uncomfortable. Let me tell you what commitment is. This is what commitment is. Commitment is being willing to be unhappy for a while. Commitment is willing to be unhappy for a while. This whole deal that God just wants me happy. Baloney! God wants you to please Him. God wants you to please Him. But your house is on the sand, the house is on the rock, but the bad thing, the storm's coming out of the way. If your house is on the sand, it's not going to last. What happens, folks, is the man is here and he sees the woman and they are attracted and they start moving closer to each other. They start moving closer to each other. And before long, they get together. And something happens that happened right here, standing right here, just about an hour ago. I officiated a wedding about an hour ago right here. And they get together. They get together. And you know what they do? They start having experiences together. They have memories together. They have hardships and they have trials together. Many times they have babies together. They have grandbabies together. They go through things together. They share thoughts with each other that they wouldn't share with anybody else. They get together. They really made something beautiful together. God put them together not to compete with each other, but God put them together to complete each other. They made something beautiful together. But something happened. Something happened that's not supposed to happen. And they got separated. And they said, I'm going to just leave him or I'm going to leave her. And it's going to be just like it was before. But the problem is, he took some of her with him. Problem is, she took some of him with her. Some of the love she took with him, she took with her. Some of the anger, but nevertheless, they took it with them. I just want to get out of this and get over it, but oh, the emotional problems I didn't get over. I took some of him with me. I took some of her with me. I took some of the kids with me. He took some of the kids with him. What started out as wonderful didn't end up so wonderful. Because I thought it was just going to be a clean sweep. I thought it was going to be simple. I thought it would end with a divorce. I thought it'd be over with a divorce. But it didn't end. Because I took some of that time with me and he took some of that time with him. It would have been better if we just stayed together. Because there's no clean break. It would have been better if we just stayed together.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.